This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever listen to this? Ever listen to this?
Now, that kind of talk this week dragged Australia's share market to
this
a two-year
a
low.
There are, of course, complex reasons for that. Of he finance
was the big spender. Right. The big spender.
Doing Mr. the grocery shopping could take a huge chunk out of the family budget.
And that's finance.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of Comedian vs. Economist. We demystify the world of money and help you get a handle on the bigger picture. My name's Adam and I'm joined as always by my little older brother and real life economist, Thomas. Welcome, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. How you doing?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Now, Thomas, bonus episode time, which means listeners out there, if you are listening to this, unfortunately, that means that we're dead. I'm hoping that our death maybe was at least shrouded in mystery and mourned by millions of people lamenting the loss of creative geniuses taken in their prime, a la kind of a Kurt Cobain style, maybe who else, Jim Morrison, Jeff Buckley, people like that. Possibly we're dead, or we could be on holidays. It might be Easter. That's the other. Probably much more likely scenario. In any case, this is a bit of a bonus episode that we recorded in case we couldn't make it into the studio for this week, for whatever reason that might be. So thank you for tuning in. We hope that it's an enjoyable listen anyway. I think we're going to have a bit of fun. And let's hope maybe that if we did sadly pass away, let's hope that this is a particularly good episode, because I think like we're taking a pretty big risk here with doing it. Our final episode as one about Monopoly the board game would be, that'd be the greatest tragedy.
Oh, I think the tragedy would be being dead, but yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. I did mention Monopoly. We are going to talk Monopoly today. And it's come up recently for me because we did an episode, I don't know how long ago now, but we did an episode about Google and their stoush with the government, as you mentioned in our reasons why we might not be here. And Google has a monopoly on search. And we were talking off air just prior to recording that episode. And I mentioned that I'd started playing Monopoly with my kids recently. And I had to, in teaching them how to play it, I had to just have a bit of a refresher on the rules and brush up and just kind of get my head around Monopoly again. And some of them were quite interesting, to be honest. Some of them, I'm pretty sure, Thomas, you and I used to play as kids. I'm pretty sure we didn't use all of the rules when we were playing as kids.
Oh, yeah, I don't imagine we would have read them all. It was just sort of assumed knowledge growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like it's like a traditional passing down of knowledge. Like, I imagine Dad taught us the rules. Probably his dad taught him. Like, the game's been around for a long time. So I did have to brush up on Monopoly, but it did get me thinking. Obviously, Monopoly, for those of you that don't know, it's all about buying property. It's about trying to make money. It's about trying not to go bankrupt. It seemed like there's a lot of parallels, obviously, with modern life, particularly people who are into investing or, property developing or what have you. And I wondered, Thomas, is Monopoly a good reflection of how the economy actually works?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Like, the Monopoly was actually developed very early. It was around 1902, I think, by a woman named Elizabeth Maggie. I'm not sure if I got that name right, but probably no one cares.
I don't think
now.
She minds.
No. And it was initially developed as a teaching aid to help people learn about how Monopoly worked. One of the great innovations about it was that it was the first to have this sort of circular model of a game. So like Snakes and Ladders, you sort of go from one place to another. Monopoly was the first sort of one where you go round and round and round. But she was trying to explain to people how capitalism worked in the real world and the way that wealth accumulated in a smaller number of hands as time went on. And that once you had sort of entrenched market power, whether that was as a company or as a landlord, as a owner of land, that enabled you to extract more and more rent from the group, the playing group, until there was only one person left. And in that sense, it was meant to be a bit of a dire warning about the dangers of capitalism.
What? This is a stretch.
No, legit, legit. She was a Georgist. So her father was a Georgist. There's a school of economics that believes everyone in the economy should be called George.
There isn't.
No, they're not. They're people who follow the teachings of Henry George, who's sort of a famous progressive economist. And around the turn of the century, the 20th century, it was quite big. He was that Georgism was sort of like the vanguard of the progressive movement. Mm. And the central idea that Henry George had was that land is the foundation of the economy, that everything comes back to land. We shouldn't own land in the way that we own material goods, like having the exclusive possession of land, because we don't own it forever. We are sort of custodians of it for a time. Land belongs to the Commonwealth, to the common people. That's sort of like the foundational unit of economic activity, and that's also where we should be taxing, where we should be putting taxation. So we shouldn't be taxing, say, labor income, because we don't want to discourage people from working. It doesn't make sense to tax people's income from working. We want to encourage that, but we should tax land, because that's the seat of economic power. And if we tax it there, then that stops, wealth inequality ballooning out of control.
But didn't you just say that the government should own the land, or the Commonwealth should own the land, or and so wouldn't they be taxing themselves?
Well, no, you still own the land in that George's model. You still own the land, but you pay tax. The only tax in the economy is land tax, and it depends on the value of the land that you own. That's the tax that you end up paying.
Right, and that's the same in Monopoly. So if you buy the land or the title of the deed, you get to, that's essentially a plot of land, but then you can put houses and hotels on it.
You don't pay tax though, right? You don't pay a land tax in Monopoly, right?
No, you don't pay a land tax.
Yeah, that's...
If people land on your land though, they pay you like a rent.
Rent, yeah.
For so nothing.
Yeah. So there was set up to mimic how the world worked in practice, and why you needed a land tax to stop that concentration of power into a single hand. It was meant to, it was a bit like a game of musical chairs. I don't know if you've played musical chairs with your kid, but it's
I thought you were going to say, I don't know if you've played musical chairs. Yes, I have. Familiar with it.
I was at a party the other day. It's a disaster. Like one by one, each kid experiences losing. Until there's only one winner left. So everyone has the experience of losing and exiting the game. It was just kids crying everywhere.
Yeah, true. But that's still better than other games like Jenga, where there's only one loser. At least misery has company in that sense. And there's a winner and someone who they can celebrate and go, yeah, I won. I was the last man standing. I fought to the end for this chair and now I get a redskin or whatever it is, some lolly. I think that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into kiddie game design. Not getting that, but...
Feel free to do a podcast about the board game Monopoly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but the point that Elizabeth Maggie was trying to make is that capitalism just creates losers. It creates more and more losers and fewer and fewer winners. And the fewer that shrinking pool of winners ends up controlling more and more of the board. and you have a massive income inequality naturally increases in a capitalist society that doesn't have any redistributive policies like a progressive taxation policy or a land tax. Without those redistributive policies in place, you just income inequality, mushrooms out of control and spirals out of control until, like, I don't know what the end result is. One person controlling everything, probably Bezos, and the rest of us owning nothing. And that and the point is that dynamic is that's not humans being evil or whatever. That dynamic is just in the rules of the game, the way that we have constructed our economic system. That was the point she was trying to make. And Parker Brothers in 1924, when she took it to them, were like, that's a bit political for our market.
I must admit, you took most of the fun out of Monopoly for me just in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. To be honest, I've played two games of Monopoly and I hated both of them. Like, it's not a game I enjoy.
That's because you probably didn't understand most of the rules.
Possibly.
Like, I think you would enjoy the game of Monopoly if we actually played every rule that as it was written in the rule book. And in fact, later on in this podcast, I want to give you a bit of a quiz and see how much you actually know about Monopoly, because I think maybe you just played it wrong. At the risk of victim blaming here, your right. poor experience playing Monopoly might have been down to the fact that you didn't invest enough in learning how to play it.
That's the classic capitalism defender's response. It's not a problem. It's not a systemic problem with capitalism. It's just that you weren't playing it right. You didn't try hard enough. Didn't save enough. You wasted too much money on smushed avocado breakfasts. You weren't playing the game right.
You weren't playing it right. Exactly. That's why you went bankrupt and you lost. Yeah. It's the Apple defense when people couldn't get any reception on their iPhone. And Apple came out with a completely straight face and said, "You're holding it wrong."
They didn't.
Don't
do
put
that.
Your fingers on the antenna bit.
Did and they really? Went,
yeah, yeah. I think it was the iPhone 4 or 5. And yeah, like the new iPhone came out and nobody could get reception. It was just like dead spots all over everywhere. And Apple was like, "Look, we hear you. But at the same time, you should really try holding it like this because you'll have much more success." It is interesting. The game of Monopoly, I quite like it and my kids are learning it. But it is true that it takes a long time to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the other challenge with Monopoly. And you mentioned that it goes round and around and around and around. It absolutely does. In fact, the longest game of Monopoly to ever have been played was 70 straight days.
Wait, what? Wow, really? Well, like at one of the Monopoly competitions. There used to be worldwide Monopoly competitions, tournaments.
Really?
Yeah. Up until like 2009.
Is that right? No. Well, I don't know. I read it on a Fun Facts About Monopoly page.
70 hours. Oh, what a waste.
70 days.
70 days. 70 days.
70 days. Oh. 70 days. But I don't know, I don't know how you can measure continuous play of Monopoly. Like, I reckon we could set the record for the longest game of Monopoly if we just started one today and it just got to your turn and you just went, let me think about that for a minute. And then just we returned in 71 days.
Let's put our name up for Guinness Book of Records. Something to be proud of. Show the grandkids.
Something to aspire to. You're not a fan of Monopoly.
No.
Which is disappointing. It could make the quiz coming up quite boring for our listeners, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm a gun at it. Yeah, I won both of those games.
Who did you play?
If I remember. Don't know. It's probably you. Probably you and Joe. Yeah.
Do you know, one of the things I did learn about Monopoly is that one of the players has to be the banker, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you've got a few players playing, they recommend that someone is just the banker. Like...
Oh, what? You're not actually playing.
They recommend someone's role in the game of Monopoly is to just be the banker. Which will make a little bit more sense, I think, to you when I tell you some of these other rules. But
you, had to charge
you can't
interest?
Imagine it. Well, you do. There's income tax in Monopoly.
What? Yeah, right.
Yeah. So one of the players is the banker, and that's it. That's all he or she does. They're the bank. And I don't remember. We never played with a dedicated banker. I don't recall as kids, did we? I just feel like who's going to be the, like our little sister Jo, would probably be the most obvious choice. She seems to be the most responsible with money out of the three of us. But that would have been open to all sorts of corruption because she's what, 4 years younger than me. So when we were 10 and 11 years old, she's like six. Man, corruption would have been rife.
Oh, she would have been open to it for sure. She would have been soliciting.
Yeah. Dad would have had to be like the royal commissioner.
Royal commission into the banking sector.
Yeah. Mum could have been like mainstream media, just covering the stories. Cool. Well, why don't we pause here? We'll grab a quick break and a word from our sponsor. And we'll come back and I want to give you a Monopoly quiz.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. We are talking Monopoly, not in the economic sense, in the board game sense. Thomas, not a big fan of Monopoly, but I've got a bunch of questions here to test your knowledge and maybe hopefully provide you a little bit more interest in your next game of Monopoly. Maybe Christmas time, next Christmas catch up we have, we can get the board game out and give it a whirl. So first question.
Mm.
How can you get out of jail?
Ah.
Mm. So you get sent to jail. You do not pass go, so you don't get your salary. You don't get your $200.
Mm.
You go direct to jail. How do you get out?
You have to pay a fine, don't you?
Mm. That's one way you can get out. There's three ways you can get out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. Can you pull a card? Like, yeah, is there a get out of jail card or something?
There is a get out of jail free card.
That's right. Ah, get out of jail free card. That's where that expression comes from.
Yeah, get out of jail free card. So if you've got one of those, you can use it. Or as you say, you're right, you can pay a fine. You can buy a get out of jail free card from someone else.
From someone else, really?
From someone else, yeah. So right. I would be willing to sell you my get out of jail free card for $70.
You get to name the price?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Oh, sweet.
So you can pay $50 to get out to the bank, or you can buy mine for $70. So that's two ways you can get out. The other way is you can throw a double. You can take your chances. You've got three chances to throw a double, and if you throw a double, you get to move that number of spaces, and you get out of jail.
Wow.
But you've only got three. At the end of your three goes, you have to pay the $50 to get out.
Right. What if you've got no money?
Then you're bankrupt and you shouldn't be playing anymore.
Right.
We'll probably ask you to leave the table.
And that's capitalism.
The other way you can get out of jail is if you've got rich parents.
Yeah.
They can also help you get out. All right. So I'll give you a half a point for that one.
Oh.
I'll give you a point.
Yay.
All right. 1 point. I'm keeping score because I can't count to five. It was five questions. All right.
If you're going to be dishing out quarter points and stuff, it's going to get complicated. All right. Bring it on. Number two.
All right. Number two. There's a square in Monopoly called free parking. What do you get if you land on the free parking square?
I'm tempted to say parking, but now it feels like a trick question. Is it like you just don't have to pay rent when you're there, or?
Yeah, that's exactly it. See, this is the problem, right? The problem is that you've never played Monopoly. So you're just thinking about what I'm saying as free parking and just going, well, it sounds like you can just park for free. So that's what it is. Whereas everyone else who's played Monopoly is like, you get all the money that has been accrued in the middle of the board through like community and chance cards.
Wow.
Who
thinks that, really? No.
Everyone, that's how we've always played. That's how everybody has always played. Do you know why? Because free parking's boring. It's a boring square. Oh. No one wants to land in a game where every square has a ramification or an action or something happens. And then you land on this square and everyone goes, meh, oh, well, next. That's no fun. So normally what happens is chance and community chest, they might say, you've won the beauty pageant.
$20.
Actually, that's a bad example because that's where you're receiving money. Speeding fine, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You have to pay $50. Now, according to the rules that I've got here, that should go to the bank. But a lot of people say, no, that just goes into like a slush fund in the middle. And then if you land on free parking, then you get all of that.
Right. Wow.
So that's what most people use free parking for. So I'm not going to give you a point for that one because even though you were right.
I'm technically right.
You messed up my quiz.
Right.
So you're still on 1 point.
Oh, okay. All right. Pick up my
question
game.
Question number three. There is an income tax in Monopoly that must be paid at various times, depending on how you can. I think it's usually through a card that you pick up. What's the tax rate? What's the income tax rate of Monopoly?
Hang on. Is it? What's it based on, your earnings, or I don't even know that much. Is it like how percentage of your wealth, or percentage of your income?
Well, it's a percentage of your wealth.
Right, so it's a wealth tax.
Well, they call it an income tax.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the 1937 version really just took it in some weird directions.
This is the instructions that I've got here. they call it an income tax. I haven't actually dug out the card to find out, but...
Okay. I'm going to say 30%, 33%.
33%. Do you reckon in 1903, when... What was her name? Maggie? Lizzie Mag, as we call her. When Lizzie came up with income tax, she said at 33%.
Well, it's not income tax, it's a wealth tax.
Well, this is pre-GST, by the way.
Okay, right. 5%.
It's 10%. 10%.
Wow, that makes sense. Because this is easy. Yeah.
It's a kid's game, remember?
Nice round number, yeah. 33%.
No wonder Parker Brothers rejected it. They're like, so we've got a few issues with the game, Maggie. Starting off, what's going on here with 33%? That's ridiculous. Calculators haven't been invented. That's a nightmare for kids. 10%.
10%. That makes sense.
So you've got a couple of options when it comes to income tax. You can estimate estimate what you've got. So it's based on your net worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the cash that you're holding, all the properties that you've got, all the houses, all the hotels, minus any debts that you're owing because you can borrow money and stuff. So you can pay 10% of your net worth. Or you can just pay $200. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Flat tax. Right.
Flat tax of $200. Yeah. Which I would recommend strongly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rich people love the idea of a flat tax.
Well, yeah. There is that. But, I mean, But even if you weren't, even if you didn't, even if you thought that maybe your tax was going to be less than $200, nobody else who's playing the game with you wants to sit there and watch you work out your net worth by counting up all your cash and your properties and your hotels properties. And your debts, getting out, what are you, punching it into Excel? Like, so my suggestion would be just pay the $200. You're going to get $200 every time you pass go. Just pay the $200.
Yeah. Early versions were sponsored by the Bookkeeping Association of America to encourage good bookkeeping skills.
They probably were. All right, what are we up to? Question four. What did you get that? You didn't get any points for that one, so you're still on 1 point. All right, question four. What are your options if you land on a on an unowned property square?
Buy it. You can buy it.
Yep, you can buy it. What if you don't want to buy it? What happens?
Nothing. You just keep going, don't you? Next person's turn.
No.
No.
It's auction time.
Auction time.
This is a little known rule. This is one that stuck out to me when I was reading it for the kids the other day. And in fact, when they're talking about the banker, they say that when you're choosing the banker, particularly if you're going to have a dedicated banker, you should choose someone who's a good auctioneer. Because auctioning actually makes up a fairly large portion of the game of Monopoly, I've since learned.
Right.
So, so the banker sometimes elects to act only as banker and auctioneer. So what happens is when you land on a square, if you don't want to buy it, then you can say, no thanks. The property then goes up for auction, but it's the bank who's running the auction, which means that as the even as the person who passed up the opportunity to buy it initially, you can still participate in the auction.
Right. So you're just saying, I'm just not buying at that price.
Yeah, I'm just not buying at that price. Which I guess further to your point means that you were talking about capitalism and the rich getting richer. If you're sitting on like $1 million and everyone else has got $10, then you land on an unowned square, you can just be like, nope. Even though I've got $1 million, I'm not paying the full price. Let's go to auction. And everyone else is like, well, I've got $10. And you go, too bad. I have $11 on buying the property.
Right. Interesting. That would actually make the game a lot quicker, right? Like I remember when I was playing, like you go around quite a few times around without buying everything on the board. But
yeah,
kind of that would mean like after three or four rounds, everything's been bought, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, usually. Yeah, it doesn't take long. Yeah, it doesn't take long for most things to be bought. But I think what a lot of people don't do is then sort of sell properties and start trading. So you can sell properties to other people. But there's rules around that, of course. You can't, if you've got houses on a property, you can't sell a property to someone else with a house on it.
Ah.
Yeah. So, which struck me as interesting. So you can't be like a property developer in Monopoly, which is all about property development. But you can't buy land and then develop some houses on it and then put a hotel on it and then go, now my land's worth, you know, whatever it is, $1,000. You can't sell it. You have to sell your houses and your hotels back to the bank and they give you half price of what you paid for them. So you've made a loss. Right. And then, and only then, can you sell your property to someone else.
Is that right? That's very interesting. There's a lot more strategy going on than I remember.
That's what I'm saying. You might enjoy it. We're playing it at Christmas time. Yay. So school up. Auctions. A lot of auctioning going on.
When's the borrowing happening? Are you going to get to that or?
What borrowing?
Didn't you say you can borrow money?
Yeah, you can borrow money from other people.
From other people.
But you can't borrow money from the bank, I don't think. The bank is money can be loaned to a player by the bank. Oh yeah, and then only by mortgaging property. Sorry, you can only borrow from the bank. No player may borrow from or lend money to another player.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you can only borrow from the bank. And I think you can only borrow in through mortgaging property.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mortgage property, then I think you have to buy it back from the bank at property price plus 10%. There's that 10% tax coming in again. I think it is mm-hmm. a, I think 10%, they settle on 10%. Right.
Yeah, there you go. Ah, so
there you go.
A lot more nuance than I remember.
A lot of nuance. So, final question. You got 1 point so far.
Okay.
What happens if the bank runs out of houses and hotels and you want to buy one?
Oh, wow.
It's a complex scenario, complex situation.
The bank has to give you some money?
What?
Like, sorry, we've run out of houses. Here's some cash. Mm.
What we used to do. So maybe it was me and Joe that used to play Monopoly. You mustn't have been involved as much. I played a lot as a kid. You must have only come in for two games.
Two games.
Failed to understand how things worked and left. like the impatient prick that you are.
Left with all the money, though.
No, so I think what we used to do is we would like get a button or something. And it would just pretend to be a house.
Yeah,
and right. Because we were just like, well, that's ridiculous. Mm. We run out of houses. Obviously, this isn't meant to happen because, you know, we all still had some money. No one was bankrupt yet. But no, turns out, reading the rules, this is a building shortage. It's actually an intended consequence throughout the game of Monopoly. And you need to wait for some to become available again before you can buy more. So there's a limited supply of houses and hotels. And
right?
Yeah, if you want to buy some, then you can't. The bank says, sorry, haven't got any to sell you. And you have to wait for some to become available. The way they become available is people can sell them back to the bank at, as I mentioned before, half the price that they paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
They might do that so that they can mortgage their property or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, which is fascinating about the building shortage, is you might remember me saying in the last question, there's a lot of auctioning going on.
Mm.
If you say to me as the banker, hey, Adam, I want to buy a house, and let's say we're playing with Joe, and Joe goes, well, I want to buy a house too, and there's only one house left, guess what?
It's auction time.
Wow. We got ourselves another property auction. So then there's another auction to see who gets to buy the house, the last remaining house that the bank has to sell.
Yeah, right. Oh, so the banker role could be kind of fun. In a competitive game.
I still want
to get involved, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I don't think so. You can't win as the banker.
Bankers always win.
Well, yeah. There's no satisfaction in winning.
Mm.
Like, you'll win. Well, you won't lose, put it that way, as the banker. But you won't win. You can't.
Yeah, right.
You won't end up. You won't look down at your property portfolio and go, wow, I've got five hotels and 46 houses. I've really crushed all my opponents. Yeah. I'm feeling good. You just kind of just finish as a banker. You just you just go home from your day job at the bank.
There you go. Auctions.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Did not know that was part of the Monopoly game.
A lot of auctioning going on. I didn't realize either. I'm certainly going to be teaching my kids all the rules. But I don't know. I don't know if that's setting them up for failure in life. Like, I don't know if that's setting them up for when they go to a friend's house and they're like, why don't we play Monopoly? And now they're that kid who's like, no, we've got to go to an auction for that property. And everyone's like, what? You know, there's no such thing as auctioning. You know that person who's always at parties going, well, we've got to read the rules. Look, it's right here in the rules. Even though everyone is like, no, that's not how we play. We've never played it that way.
Mm.
So I don't know whether I'm doing them a disservice maybe by teaching them every rule in the Monopoly rule book.
I wonder if it sets them up for life. Like, there's enough of like how the real world works.
I think there's definitely elements of it.
Mm, mm. Yeah.
you know, especially as you say, in a capitalist society.
Mm. Well, yeah, I wonder if they'll come away with the realization that a universal land tax is the only integral form of taxation policy.
I think you're the only person to take that message out of the game of Monopoly. Perhaps what you could do, though, is at the bottom of this of these instructions, these genuine, like, just for our listeners out there, I'm not reading this off the internet. This is a genuine set of Monopoly from a fair while ago, I think. The reason I know it's from a fair while ago, and you might like to do this, Tom, is at the bottom of the instructions, they say, questions on this game will be answered gladly if correct postage is enclosed. So maybe you could write to them and ask them about whether or not a universal land tax should be added to the game of Monopoly. There are a lot of variations of Monopoly now. There's like a lot of, I don't know, there's Disney Monopoly, and I think football clubs have released their own Monopoly, and there's more than just the original, which I think was based on Atlantic City from what I read.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think that's right. And then there was a London one.
Yeah, I always swore it was an English. I've only ever played the UK version.
Ah, yeah, I reckon that's right.
Questions on Monopoly will definitely. You can email us if you like, and we can forward on your questions as long as you pay the postage. what are we? CVE@equitymates.com. You can get us on email or head over to the website, equitymates.com/CVE. We hope you've had a fun time this episode. We hope that you maybe can torture your friends with all the rules of Monopoly at your next Monopoly gathering. I don't even know if people play Monopoly anymore generally, but it used to be popular. So it's been fun. Thomas, thank you for your input.
No, thank you. Check out the shirts on equitymates.com for, you know, Thomas the Economist forever in our hearts.
Yes. And we hope to be joining you again next week with some more topical news from the world of economics. We'll see you then.
This podcast proudly brought to you by Equitymates Media. Always remember, all information contained in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, financial, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equitymates are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to our disclaimer page, where you can find resources to search for a registered financial professional near you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.